Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And as New York enters another steamy week, we'll begin with two hot political questions today. Do you care about Mitt Romney's tax returns? And would you consider Anthony Weiner for mayor? After all, we'll get to the Weiner call-in second. The New York Post quoted sources this weekend who say he is mulling a comeback to run for mayor or public advocate. But first, the Obama campaign is succeeding for the moment at turning the media spotlight on Mitt Romney's contradictory accounts of when he left his company, Bain Capital, and his refusal to release any tax returns from before 2010. We'll open the phones and talk to Maggie Haberman from Politico. Hi, Maggie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
The essence of the timeline question has to do with Romney trying to have it both ways. He has claimed he can't be held responsible for layoffs at companies Bain owned after 1999 because he didn't run the company. But documents revealed last week show he listed himself as CEO and sole shareholder of Bain on SEC documents until 2002. What's this dance all about?
Well, the stance is about a couple of things, one of which is that the Obama campaign is running essentially a version of the Bush campaign against Kerry from 2004, which is very heavy negative, very heavy character assault, and this is essentially trying to disqualify Romney on what he says is his main calling card for the job, an ability to for the job in the White House, an ability to create jobs, which is how he has painted his time at Bain. His time at Bain was not actually about job creation, because private equity is not about job creation, it's about wealth creation. There were some jobs that were created. There were also some job losses, and that is what the Obama campaign has highlighted. There was a Washington Post story that suggested that Bain did a lot of outsourcing with specific companies. A lot of jobs went elsewhere. There became a distinction by the Romney campaign trying to explain between offshoring and outsourcing, which is never a great argument in terms of voters hearing it. But their other argument was the story is wrong because Mitt Romney was gone from Bain by then and he was not making decisions. The problem is twofold, and this is where they sort of walked into a trap with the Obama campaign. You cannot. It's very hard to argue that you had nothing to do with the company when you are still listed on these documents, and also you got some passive investor income from them. But also, you know, Romney has taken credit for literally every job that was created, say, at Staples, which is one of the Bain companies, since it began, and from long after he left. And so, if you're going to take credit for those jobs, then you know it seems fair from the Obama campaign's perspective to try to, you know, hang the losses on him as well. But mostly this is about raising doubts in voters' minds as to whether he could actually bring a change while in office, whether he actually understands people, whether he can connect with the middle class. And so far, the Romney campaign is not counterpunching. It's really been quite something. They are, you know, they've been very slow to respond. Romney went on TV in a spate of national broadcast interviews, which, by the way, were basically his first ones in a real way in a very long time, on Friday. But he didn't, again, he didn't really address the issue.
Yeah.
He demanded an apology.
And I guess he was on television again this morning. Did you hear that clip on the news at the top of the hour that accused Obama of participating in old-style Chicago politics? Does that count as counterpunching in your book?
No, I think that saying somebody is playing that a politician is playing politics against me doesn't go very far. And Brian, I think one thing I would bear in mind with this is that this is where the Romney campaign has a problem from its own first ad, which aired in New Hampshire, its own first general election ad. If you remember, and I'm sure you do, quoted the president out of context. It was a clip of the president in the 2008 campaign saying the words, if the race is about the economy, then we lose. But the first half of the clip was actually the president making clear he was quoting a McCain advisor making that point. And so the Obama campaign cried foul at the time. They were very angry. Other people argued, you know, this is all fair in love and war, and there's something to that. But so these attacks are not out of bounds, and the question of Mitt Romney's business background, it was always going to be an issue. It's been an issue in his past races. His campaign is making the assumption that the focus is going to be on the economy, that the 10% of undecided voters are not really paying attention and that they don't need to spend heavily to counteract that, we will see. There is some suggestion from statewide polling in some of the swing states that Mitt Romney's brand is taking a hit. It's not a substantial hit, but it is a hit, and the question is whether that can be reversed.
Listeners, do you care about whether Mitt Romney left Bain Capital in 1999 or 2002, or whether he releases his pre-2010 tax returns? 212-433-WNYC. Should I just assume that all Democrats who feel strongly about being Democrats think, oh, this is terrible, and all Republicans who feel strongly about being Republicans say, oh, this is much ado about nothing? What about if you're a swing voter? Could this affect your vote? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Maggie Haberman from Politico is with us. So I want to play the toughest soundbite that I think we have on this. It's from Obama campaign official Stephanie Cutter late last week.
Either Mitt Romney, through his own words and his own signature, was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the SEC, which is a felony, or he was misrepresenting his position at Bain to the American people.
So the Romney folks are crying foul that she used the word felony, but wouldn't it be a felony if he filed false SEC documents to fake residency in Massachusetts?
As I understand it, sure. I mean, they have not actually directly said he did that, and so I'm not, you know, backing up that assertion at all. I just want to be clear on that. That is where the campaign went with it. What I think you saw with this, Brian, is the Obama campaign laid something of a textbook trap again for the Obama campaign, for the Romney campaign. I think that use of that word felon was used very deliberately. I think that it was essentially the left's version of the birther stuff about President Obama, where you just kind of get it into the chatter and you get it into the bloodstream. I think that the Republicans pushed back and, you know, went at it and talked about it, and that just continued the conversation about it. So voters are now hearing the word felon, felon, felon over and over again, and I don't know that they're hearing, the cries of foul.
And also with respect to the offshore accounts, Democrats are raising the question, well, is this tax avoidance, that is, hiding your money in some legal way, even if it seems unseemly to many Americans, or is it tax evasion, which would be a crime? So this is two things now. Whether it's fair to compare it to the birther thing, I don't know, and I don't want to get bogged down in that because I could just imagine we're going to get, you know, 5,500 emails now from you and posts on our website from you comparing it to the birther thing.
No, I'm not suggesting this is a clear parallel, but I think that it's a sort of similar type of goal.
But if they raise this question, if he filed falsely with the FCC,
right,
that he was the CEO of Bain, then that would be a felony. But it looks like this goes back to his eligibility to run for governor of Massachusetts in 2002 because he no longer lived in the state.
Correct.
Is that part of it?
That's very much part of it, but the part of it, well, it's two things. Here's what I think happened. We don't know for sure because the answers have not been that clear. I think that he left to run the Olympics. I think it was not expected to be a full break with Bain because I think he did anticipate coming back.
In 99.
I think that there was not a clear opening for him electorally, even though he was interested in politics after that. I think that he was very clearly focused on the Olympics. What he testified when he was testifying before the ballot commission in Massachusetts, where he was trying to establish residency, as you just said, what he said was that he came back, he was on the boards of a couple of Bain holdings, remained on them, he gave up almost everything else, and that he did come back for some board meetings, others he would do by phone. That's where the trick comes in, because he raised this idea that he was coming back for, and by trick I mean just where people are drilling down and trying to focus on a discrepancy. That's where people are arguing, well, then what was your contact? And it becomes a little less clear. I think it's very plausible that he thought he was going to leave part-time and then decided, which is what the campaign has said, and then he was going to make it full-time.
Right.
There have still been no clear answers, at least from Bain, about exactly who was running Bain in the interim and et cetera. And it's also, I mean, look, in fairness to Romney, A, there is not a whole lot new that has been uncovered. The ballot commission piece was one of the newer bits. A lot of this has been around and has come up before. It's just that the answer still remains, you know, a bit mushy, and it's also very complicated stuff.
And
so
some
it's hard
things,
to get caught up.
Some things that Republicans are saying aren't helping. Here's how Republican strategist Ed Gillespie described Romney's retirement, but not retirement, on CNN yesterday.
The International Olympic Committee was going to pull the Olympics from the United States of America, which would have been a huge embarrassment. Because of Mitt Romney's leadership skills, he was called on to do it. He took a leave of absence, and in fact, Kennedy, he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999 as a result.
Retired retroactively, Maggie. What does that even mean?
Well, I'm not sure that Mr. Gillespie knows, and I think that Ed Gillespie is an extremely smart man, and I suspect that this may not be where he wants to go with it. I think, Brian, one thing that's very important, especially for those of us like you and I, have watched Mike Bloomberg, another businessman, for a very long time, especially when he was first running, grapple with having to answer questions from the political press corps as opposed to the business press corps. I think that there is some of that with Mitt Romney, where he still feels like, why is it that these people, these reporters, don't understand? We're making very clear what the issue is. Retired retroactively, I mean, in fairness to Gillespie, what else is he going to... He doesn't have much else he can say. There's not a great answer for this, clearly, and this is the problem for Romney is, you know, it's... I don't think that he was necessarily still running Bain Capital, but the problem is that every time he starts to answer a question about this, it's a rabbit hole.
I wonder who else should retire retroactively. Listeners, maybe use our Facebook page or our Twitter feed, at Brian Lehrer, and tell us who should retire retroactively, or to be precise linguistically, who should have retired retroactively.
Well,
Maggie Haberman from Politico with us as we talk about the latest Obama-Romney stuff on Bain Capital and Romney's tax returns. Victor in Port Elizabeth, you're on the air. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Brian, I just want to weigh in. You know, a man who wanted to become president of a great nation, and he knows very well those are the honorable position to take and to show court that you have filed your taxes, you have, you know, every evidence that all your taxes, all the money you've been defrauded overseas is there. So it's a good position you have to do that. Is he turning voter off by trying to argue against filing his taxes or by even depositing the money or overseas or offshore accounts? Those are things that would turn a voter off.
Right. It might turn a voter off filing or having money overseas, so he should show his tax returns. Victor, thank you for starting us off on the tax return part of it. And, of course, Maggie Haberman, the Democrats emphasized that when Romney's father ran for president, he released 12 years of returns, and Mitt had to show many years' worth to the McCain campaign, apparently, when McCain was vetting Romney as a possible running mate in 2008. But I've been surprised at the growing number of Republicans and conservatives now urging Romney to come into the sunlight. Here is Alabama Republican Governor Robert Bentley.
I was asked today that question, do you think that Governor Romney should release his tax returns? And I said, I do. I said, I release my tax returns. I may be the only public official in Alabama that does, but I release mine every year, and I just believe that people should release their tax returns. And if you get them out, you know, and just get past that, it just makes it so much easier.
Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, and here is conservative columnist George Will yesterday on ABC This Week.
I do not know why, given that Mr. Romney knew the day that McCain lost in 2008 that he was going to run for president again, that he didn't get all of this out and tidy up some of his offshore accounts and all the rest. He's done nothing illegal, nothing unseemly, nothing improper, but lots that's impolitic.
And one more. Here is former Bush campaign official, now political analyst Matthew Dowd, also on ABC This Week.
I think it's two things. First of all, there's obviously something there, because if there was nothing there, he would say have at it. So there's obviously something there that compromises what he said in the past about something. So that's, but I think the bigger thing is it's arrogance.
So Maggie Haberman from Politico, Matthew Dowd saying there must be something there. What do you think is there? Is there buzz around Politico as to what it is he may actually be trying to hide, if anything?
I think that we are all in the same position that you and Matthew Dowd and everyone else is in terms of not knowing what is in them. I think that everybody has, at this point, had a bit of surprise at the extent to which that Mitt Romney is dug in on it. I think that the Obama campaign has successfully made this an issue and tied it to the Bain stuff, tied it to other issues, made a thing about the offshore accounts, used this to fill out the frame of Mitt Romney. It is surprising that he is not releasing more, only because as you said, he is coming under this pressure. It could be anything under the sun. It could be the last point that Matthew Dowd made, which is that there's a stubbornness factor and a not wanting to do it, which, you know, he would hardly be the first elected official or potential elected official to do that. As you recall, we went through this with Mike Bloomberg in 2001 on tax returns. They said they would release them, and then they didn't, and then they were redacted and so forth. But, you know, part of that was because Mike Bloomberg didn't want people seeing exactly what his holdings were. I think that, Mitt Romney, his last return showed that he was essentially paying a very different tax rate than a lot of Americans pay, because his was mostly on sort of investment income as opposed to earned income.
But we know that already.
Correct. But I think that there might be more of something like that. There might be, it might be something about deductions. It might be something that it could be the range of possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking with knowledge. This is all, mm-hmm. What people talk about. Mm-hmm. It could be anything like that. The problem is it could be anything like that. And so for the extent that people are paying attention, and if any swing state voters and if any independent voters are following this, if it raises questions, that's a problem for him.
Mark in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I think it would be fair for Romney to ask Obama to release his high school records. We know nothing about his early days except for what he says in his own autobiography, that he was basically high on drugs for the last 2 years in high school. Well, how did he get into Harvard Business School? How did he get into Harvard Law School? There's plenty that Romney could ask in return.
Mark, thank you. And there are some things like this come up. I think his Columbia University transcripts, is that one of the things that Obama won't release?
Yeah, he has not released those transcripts, if I'm remembering correctly. There's another set of documents that he has not released as well that have been typical for candidates to put out.
And let's see, one more here. Stephanie in Short Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
At the beginning of the segment, your guest, Ms. Haberman, threw out the fact that that what Obama administration is doing with the Bain ads can be equated with what the Bush campaign did with Kerry with the Swift voting ads. And I'm getting a little fed up with this equation because the Swift voting ads were based basically on lies, speculation, conjecture, whereas the Obama campaign's Bain ads are based on facts, the SEC documents, his tax returns, et cetera.
Let me get a quick response because we need to take a break. James Fallows said on All Things Considered yesterday that he saw this as being the same as Swift voting in one way and not in another way. He said what they really did with the Swift voting was try to turn Kerry's biggest advantage, which was his record as a war hero in the middle of the war on terror, against him by making it look somehow dirtied. And that's what they're trying to do with Romney, turn what is supposed to be Romney's biggest strength in a down economy, his success as a businessman, against him by somehow dirtying it. Fallows went on to say, this is not to say that it's kind of, it has a truthiness problem like some of the Swift boat stuff does, but how would you make that comparison?
Look, I did not actually say that the Bain ads are the same as Swift voting ads. That's not what I said at all. I said that this is a very similar approach in terms of making it a character race, and that's just a fact if you look at the two. I do think that the Swift voting ads, the argument there was that they were literally just factually not real. They were also done independent of the campaign, quote unquote, to the extent that the coordination thing has been an issue for a long time on both sides. This campaign, the Obama campaign, is embracing both of these. I think that it's clear that there are pieces of the Romney record that are very clearly being looked at and that are fact based. I would say, to be fair to Mitt Romney, he argues that the outsourcing one is not one of them. And so you can't just dismiss it and say, but that's not true. I mean, independent fact checkers have also said those ads have issues with them, and the campaign is still going ahead with them.
All right. Now, Maggie, before you go, our next segment is about the New York Post report this weekend that Anthony Weiner is seriously considering running for mayor after all, or at least public advocate, according to multiple sources familiar with him. As a former Post person and New York political reporter, do you think that distinction might matter, that people might consider Weiner's sexting scandal to be too unseemly for a mayoral candidate but acceptable for an aspiring public advocate?
Sadly, I actually do think there is a bit of a difference. I don't know that it's enough of a difference, but I think that people consider the office as pretty different, and I think the standard for apologias might be a bit different in terms of public advocate versus mayor. That said, I will say that having watched Anthony Weiner, I believe he is thinking about a way to get back into the public life. I think there's no question that he wishes he had not resigned. I think he misses it. He debated very strongly running in 2009 for mayor, as you remember, Brian, and then ultimately didn't after a couple of pretty negative stories. I suspect the ultimate result will be the same here.
Today's Post story says Weiner's wife, Huma, wants him to do a tell-all interview to help get it behind him. Do you think that would help?
No. I don't think that would help. I think one interview would beget another, and I think he would have had to do this sooner. I also candidly don't entirely believe that his wife, who is extremely privacy-minded, is urging him to do that.
Maggie Haberman, reporter for Politico.com. Maggie, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Brian.